problem that we fail to deal with in our children is a problem of the heart. We assume that our children will just simply choose to do what is right. If I give my children an offer of, do you want to do what's right or do you want to do what's wrong? We love our children. And so we naturally will say, of course, my child, my son, my daughter would never choose what is wrong. And then we release them from our home and say, what just happened? How could that be my child? How could that be my child that would do such wickedness? I have talked to many heartbroken parents when they bring up their children in conversation. It's not with pride. It's ashamed. Because they know that the moment they release their child, they went to the world. Proverbs in chapter number 4 and verse number 1. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. This is the cry from the pulpit that I've been trying to make all week. Hear ye children the instruction of your father. Attend to them. Verse 2. For I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Turn to Proverbs chapter 23. That verse right there, keep thine heart, for out of it is all the issues of life. We need to start not just protecting from the world and protecting from the devil, but we need to start teaching our children to deal with their hearts. Because the problem is that our children are wicked. Boys and girls, the problem why you can't stay in the way is not because the world is so bad, though it is. It's not because the devil is so vile and such a tempter, though he is. The problem is not outside forces. The problem is your hearts. Proverbs and chapter number 23 and verse 12. Apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Moms and dads, this is to us. Withhold not correction from the child. For if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. We talked about that last night. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, my desire is when I release my children from my home that my heart will rejoice. That I'll say, my child is in the way. My child is doing what's right. God, as a father, I did everything I could to teach my child, to reprove my child, to get in the way, to stay in the way. That's how I want to rejoice. I don't want to talk about my children with uttered tones and soft tones because I don't want anybody to hear what my children are up to. I want to rejoice. And to do that, I must deal with the heart. Verse 17, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. For surely there is an end, and thine expectation shall not be cut off. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Verse 26, a father's cry to his son, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Moms and dads, where we are failing our children is we are protecting them, but we're not teaching them how to deal with their own heart. We're not teaching them that you are wicked. You are vile. The problem's not out there. The problem is right in your own heart. For the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah says. Your children are not good little kids that just need protected from the world. Boys and girls, you're not a perfect little child that just makes a few mistakes. Children, you are wicked, you are vile, and your problem is your heart. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. You may ask the question, what happened to a young man that would cause him to be a mass murderer? What happened to a young lady that would cause her to grow up and be a pedophile? What would cause somebody to go so deep into sin that the whole world would stand back and say, that's wicked? What would cause a young man to walk into a school and kill his fellow students? What has to happen? What did his parents do to him? Nothing. Nothing. He went the way of all flesh. Inside every child in this auditorium is a child that has a propensity for the most wicked, the most vile, the most ungodly of sins, because his heart is wicked and vile. That's what's in our children. Moms and dads, we can protect all the outside influences, and when our rules are gone, and they face that first temptation from within, they have no idea how to deal with it. They have no idea what to do, because for the first time, the alcohol is there and there's no mom and dad saying, you can't do that. And all of a sudden, something happens that's never happened within our children ever before. Everything within them says, I want it. Their heart, their wicked flesh starts to say, I want that. I know my parents said it was wrong. I know all my life growing up it was wrong. But everything within me is now screaming, I want that. And they don't know how to deal with it. Because all we've ever done is protect them and not teach them how to deal with their own wicked heart. Proverbs 29 and verse 16, or verse 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Proverbs 19, 18, chasten thy son while there is hope. Moms and dads, you hear that? While there is hope. There comes a point in time in your child's life to where you've lost all hope. You've gone too far. Your child now has the taste for the flesh, has the taste for what's wrong, and there's no turning them back but for the grace of God. Chasten thy child while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Proverbs 13, 24, this is not popular preaching in our day. He that spareth his rod hateth. You hear that? Hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. You know what the problem is? Proverbs 22 and verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Moms and dads, our goal as parents is not just to protect our children so they turn out right. Our goal as parents is to realize that we have offspring that is just as vile, just as wicked as we are. And they are dealing with a fleshly heart. They're dealing with a heart full of sin, a desire to do what's wrong. And we have to teach them how to get in the way, how to use the Word of God and get in the way. I remember when I looked at my son and I looked at my daughter. And you parents know what this is like. You start seeing that first inkling of rebellion in your children before they can even speak. And you look at them, and they're going towards the electrical outlet, and you sweetly and kindly say, no. And they give you that look and stare at you the entire time while they reach for it. What you gonna do about it, Dad? Can't even speak. You know what that is? That's their hearts. That's their wicked, vile heart. The moment you said no, and they understood what no meant, now I want to do it. You know, we as parents have to teach them. We have to teach them the way of the Lord. We have to teach them to follow God's way, to obey, and to honor. Moms and dads, if you're anything like me, I look at my child and I see the things that they deal with, and I see the temptations that they deal with, and time again, they look at me saying, "How do I stop doing this?" And I stare at them and know I face similar temptations. I face the same problem and fail. How? How in the world do I, as a father, assist my children in defeating a flesh that's so wicked that I still battle it every day of my life? What can I do as a father? Turn with me to Jeremiah in chapter 17. Jeremiah in chapter 17 is the passage where we find out that the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful. Jeremiah in chapter number 17 gives us as parents hope. Jeremiah 17 and verse number 5. Moms and dads, there's only one thing we can do to help our children deal with their own wicked hearts. There's only one thing we can do. Jeremiah 17 and verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh his flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. I apologize. I'm going to park on that for just a minute. Mom and dad, if you think that your standards and your rules and your guidelines are going to keep your children straight, you're trusting in the arm of man. If you think that your ideas of how to put bumpers along the guardrail are going to keep your children straight, you're trusting in man's way. You're not trusting God anymore. You think that, hey, if I don't let my child go to the movies, if I don't let my child hang out with these friends, they're going to turn out right. My friend, you're accomplishing nothing. You're doing nothing for your child except bouncing them around church to shoot them out farther once they get away from the bumpers. You cannot trust in your own standards, in your own man's way. Verse 6, for he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Listen to verse 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. Does that sound familiar to Psalm 1? Oh, my soul. And shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Mom and dad, every time we are coming to our child and they're saying, I want to do what's right, I'm trying to do what's right, but I'm failing, we've got to bring them to the throne of grace, to the only person that can ever help them with their flesh, and that's Christ. We cannot tell them, you just need to get better friends. No, you need to get closer to the Lord. We can't tell them, you just need to say no to drugs. No, you need to get close to the Lord. He's the only one that can defeat that. He's the only one that can defeat your flesh. He is it. As a young man, I grew up in a church that was stricter, that had guidelines firmer and harder than this church. I grew up in a church that kept their rules straight, because they believed that was their way to heaven. They believed that they were good enough and they lived righteously enough that God would let them into heaven. I grew up with very strict rules. I grew up with very strict guidelines. And I remember message after message after message that taught me, get in the way, do what's right, honor, obey. And I remember time and time again coming forward to an altar and saying, God, I want to go to heaven. I want to do what's right. God, I'm going to do it this time. I am going to follow the rules. I'm going to honor. I'm going to obey. And every time I got up, I made it a step and a half before I fell flat on my face because I couldn't do it. I tried my dead level best, young people, to honor and obey my parents every single time. You know what happened? I failed over and over and over again because I had a heart of flesh. I had a wicked, a deceitful heart that screamed, I don't want to obey. I don't want to honor. I don't want to get in the way. And again and again, again and again, I came and says, God, I'm going to do better. I came to a message, a special, unique circumstance. And the man of God gave an invitation. And I came forward and prayed a prayer, much like I'd done hundreds of times before. God, I want to go to heaven. I want to get there. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get in the way. I'm going to honor. I'm going to obey. And I went back to my seat. The next preacher came up. I couldn't tell you what that preacher said. I couldn't tell you the passage of scripture he preached out of. But all of a sudden, the Spirit of God began to show me my heart. And he began to show me my wickedness. And he began to show me the weight of my own sin. And I sat there as a young teenager, burdened with how unworthy I was, how impossible it was to get in the way, that I could not even begin. Where was hope? Where could it be? I want to get in the way, but my sin is stopping me. I want to do what's right, but my own heart will not let me through. My own heart will not let me get in the way. God, the problem is me. I can't do it. And I remember at the next invitation, I went forward and I was planning on praying the prayer that I had prayed so many times. And as I knelt at the altar and I began to open my mouth, I realized how vain, how pointless it was for me to promise to do better because I couldn't do it. I was not capable. I could not reach God's standard. And at that moment in time, I prayed the worst sinner's prayer I've ever heard. The only words that came out of my mouth was, I give up. I give up. I can't do this. And oh, my friends, God heard the cry of a sinner. I couldn't have told you the doctrines. I couldn't have told you about the propitiation of Christ. I couldn't have told you. I just in my heart knew that if I was going to go to heaven, God was going to have to do it because I couldn't. And in Colossians 2 and verse 13, this happened to me that day. And you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and listen to this, and took it out of the way. He took my sin, my faults, my inability, and he took it out of the way. And ladies and gentlemen, I now can get in the way. Not because of me, not because I defeated my flesh, but because I came to a Savior and he took my wicked, fleshly heart out of the way. It's not in my way. Ladies and gentlemen, You can say, I want a good home. You can say, I want children that turn out right. And you can work your fingers to the bone and fail. Or you can turn to a Savior and say, God, this is so far beyond me. God, get it out of the way. Get me out of the way. God, I want my children to turn out right. But my rules, my guidelines, my strictness, my holding the line, I'm not going to let you rebel. I'm not going to let that happen. God, that means nothing. Not unless you're there. That's where we have to start, ladies and gentlemen. Not bowing up and getting ready for battle, but falling down at the grace of God. Let me have everybody's heads bowed and everybody's eyes closed. Young people, many of you have a desire to do what's right. If you have a plan to go home and obey mom and dad in your own strength, in your own power, you're going to fail. You cannot get in the way. It's impossible for you. The only way for you to please God with your life is to say, God, I am wicked, I am vile, and I need you to help me. If you're in here tonight and you don't have a testimony where you can say, God has taken my sins out of the way, God has saved me, I know I'm on my way to heaven. If you don't have that experience in your life, then you're destined to a place called hell. You'll never be able to get in the way to heaven, because the only way, the only gate, is through Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, I ask that you would work in hearts in only a way that your sweet Holy Spirit can. I love you, Lord. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word. Help us, Lord, to humbly bow before you and admit that we are wicked. I ask you to stand to your feet as the piano begins to play. Young people, it'd be a good idea for you to come and say, God, I want to get in the way, but I need you to help me. You can come. You can come now. Young people, if you don't know heaven is your home, if you don't know that God has taken your sins out of the way, quickly go to a counselor. Say, hey, I'm afraid I'd spend an eternity in hell. I don't know if God's taken my sins out of the way. Would you show me how I can know that I'm going to heaven when I die? We'd love to show you. Moms and dads, I know you love your children. Parents do not send their children to a camp like this if they don't love them. I know you want what's best for your children. But when's the last time you came to the throne of grace and you said, God, I cannot do this job. I can't do it. I need your help. Moms and dads, when's the last time your children heard you crying out to God, saying, God, I need you to fix my children. I need you to work in their hearts. It's beyond me. Or moms and dads, are we too prideful to humble ourselves? This invitation can be yours, Dad. This invitation can be yours, Mom, to kneel before God and say, God, I'm in the way. Help me to get in the way.
People are still praying.